Well, good morning.
Good morning, Theo.
Before I get started, Teresa, can you raise your hand real quick? Our brother, Charles Preston, he has been deployed in the Army, and his wife, Ra, she may need some help. So if anybody feels a need and is moved by God, especially after my message, it's not about that, but please see Teresa June or Ra. Ra's not here at the time, but please see her so that you could offer God's help to them. Please,
amen.
That would be great. Okay. I'm just going to pray real quick. Father, thank you for today. I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to understand every word that comes out of your mouth. And I pray that as we hear it and as we meditate upon it, that you would graft it into our souls so that we can leave here with a piece of you, your word, attached to our hearts, our minds, and we could also proclaim it to the world. Let me be clear and understandable. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So last time, we ended up reading all of Numbers 13, I believe it was. So buckle up. There's a lot of scripture, and we're going to be flipping through the Bible, okay?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and get started. If you're taking notes, the title of my message is, Who is the Word of God? Who is the Word of God? Okay? The answer is Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
See you guys. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. Let's go ahead and turn to John 1. Just going to read a few verses here to answer this question. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
So John chapter 1, verse 1 clearly answers the question, Who is the Word of God? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now this sounds a lot like Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heaven and the earth. He created everything, six days, everything was there. But we're talking about God's word and who he is and who Jesus is. There's so many words out there today. There's so many things to pay attention to and listen to. You know, when someone gets married or graduates from high school, there's a word for that. Congratulations, right? Congratulations. Whenever someone is born or has a baby, it's like, oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations is a great word. How about when someone cuts you off in traffic? There's words there too, right?
Amen.
You know, I have five children, and sometimes I step on a Lego. There's some words there too.
Yeah.
So words are important. We have to watch the words that come out of our mouth. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 4:29 says, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and acceptable. Is it behind me? No, it's not. The use for edifying that so you can minister grace to others. All right.
Amen.
So it's important that you know what words are coming out of your mouth. God's word that came out of his mouth, he takes care of his word. Another interesting thing is that we're not animals. We're not beasts. We're people. So we rely on words to communicate our hearts. But an animal might grunt or but we don't do that. Well, babies might do that. But then they learn words and they can properly communicate so that you don't have a headache anymore about what they're asking for. But we're not beasts, we're humans, and so we use God's word to know about God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that's why we rely on God's word. Go ahead and turn to Colossians 1. It's a right turn, few books. And I'll start reading at verse 14. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins,
yes.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So all things that were created by him who? The Word, his name is Jesus, the Son of God, and is for the redemption of our souls, so that we have the forgiveness of sins. Not only that, everything that was created has God's Word built into it.
Yes.
Biologists have discovered that as DNA. There's some letters there, and I won't go into all the biology about that, but they've discovered that there are certain components that they describe as words, and there's a grammar to your DNA, and there are paragraphs and how you build a person. So I like understanding DNA because I know God's word has a purpose, and his word is everywhere because of the DNA. You don't think about it, but his word is everywhere. He put that into place.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and turn to 1 John 5. And I'll read 5 through 12. The Bible says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you overcome the world. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, you have to remember that phrase, the Spirit is truth, because that's connected with God's word. Whenever you're talking about God's word, you're talking about truth. You know, people have all these types of words, but they're not valuable to them. They don't care what they're saying. But whenever you're speaking or reading God's word, remember, it's truth. And whenever the truth goes out, you have to have respect unto the truth. I'll continue here in verse 7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So when we're talking about words, words are actually a record. Your Bible is a record. There's a document here, but it's not the book that we love. We love the words that are inside the book. The words can be anywhere. Wherever you find them, you find Jesus. You find Jesus because he is the word that we have right here.
Amen.
I mean, you could turn to anything, and you know that it's true. Of course, you should study it every day, as a matter of fact. But this is his word, and it is true. And we know that the record, something that is written down, is something that you can always back up and rely on. There's a lot of things people say. They'll just say whatever, and you'll say, "Well, do you have anything to back that up?" "Well, no." "Well, then it's not true then." They may think it's true, but it's not true unless you have something to back it up. I'll just give you a background of my profession. I'm a software developer, and I rely heavily on documentation. Whenever requirements are solicited for a particular project, I'm going to look at those requirements and look at what they want and say, "Okay, this is how you want it? Good." But then if they come back to me later after I've produced the product and say, "Hey, wait a minute, what about this thing? I thought it was going to make coffee." No. It doesn't say that in the requirements. We have to regard God's word in the same manner. When someone's running their mouth and they say something that's not according to God's word, we have to go back to the record, because the record is a person. The record is Jesus Christ. And by him, we are saved. By him, we have eternal life. By him, we last forever, just like his word does. So don't let people come to you and say some crazy thing that's not in the Bible.
Amen.
You just say, "No, that's not here. That's not in the word." So That's false. This is truth. I'm going to stick with the truth. Do you love Jesus? Anybody love Jesus? Yeah. You love God? You love him? Then you love his word. Yeah. You love every single word in the book. The Ten Commandments. You know, there's been in this country, there's been all types of struggles and conversations about where the Ten Commandments ought to be. But, you know, I honestly don't really care about that. I mean, the Ten Commandments, that's truth. I love God's word. Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. What about this? Have no other gods before me. Don't create a graven image or molten image. Don't bow down to it. How about the first one? I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Yeah. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's his word, and I rely on those words. We love those commandments. We love God's word. But, you know, God's word isn't just good because it feels good. If I said, oh, it's wrong to steal, you like that because now you know all of your things are safe because nobody's going to take from you. But it's not good because you feel good about it. No. It's good because that's who God is. Stealing is wrong because that's against God's nature. That's not good. That's not something that's great. So we love his commandments. I was thinking about this pillar joke. I tried to create a joke. I'm going to try it.
Amen.
If I ruin the joke,
okay.
I will. Actually, I probably will do it somewhere else, but I'll fix it. So 1 Timothy 3:14, chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself." In the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Yeah. The pillar and the ground of the truth. When you think of a pillar and ground or foundation, you know, they're unmovable. They don't move. So if you can imagine a pillar, let me hold it this way. There you go. A pillar and a ground of the truth, that's what the church is, the church of the living God. There's another pillar also. Lot's wife, she was told not to look back when Sodom and Gomorrah was about to get destroyed, she would turn to a pillar of salt. Now, I don't think that pillar of salt was like this. It might have been like something like that. But after a few rains and maybe some hailstones and maybe some fire, that pillar is gone. That pillar is not there anymore. But you know what? The pillar of truth of God's word is still here, and we can still hold that up. And that's what we are, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen.
Did I do all right on that?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
You use that again.
I'll use it again. Okay. Matthew 4, verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. That's the only way. But you know what? Since Jesus is the word, you're coming to truth and life and to God through the word. Through the word. I think it's something difficult to think about, but you come through the word. Everything that God says will be done, will be done. Isaiah 55, verse 10 through 11 says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and I shall, it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. So everything God speaks, it gets accomplished. When Jesus came into the earth, that was God's word going into the earth. Jesus didn't return back to God empty-handed, like the rain and like the snow. When it comes down, it comes all the way down. It waters the earth. Plants grow up. People make snowballs and throw them. But it doesn't go back up to God unless it's accomplished what it's done. And Jesus has accomplished everything that he was sent here to accomplish. My second point is God's word lasts forever.
Yes.
His word lasts forever.
Yes.
That means even before you were born, it was there.
Yes.
And even after we're gone, it's going to be there.
Yes.
Because that is his nature before he even created anything. Matthew 5:18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Has anyone ever heard of the phrase, "not one iota"?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay. Iota is the Greek word there for jot. So in English, we have jot. There's no J's in Greek. But that English phrase, "not one iota," I don't want to see any piece of Lego on the floor. Well, I mean, I don't want to see any mess except, or not one iota of mess on the floor. He's saying every little itty bitty piece. So God's word lasts forever. Not one jot or iota or tittle will leave the word. Not even just a little stroke of the pen. And if you're familiar with the Hebrew alphabet, the 10th letter is yod. And it looks like an apostrophe, and it's very small. It's just beep. But it's a sound letter in the Hebrew alphabet. But iota there. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So if you're saved today, you were saved by the word, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will not pass away.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you believe on him, you will never die.
Amen.
Neither will his word die. So you're going to last just as long as his word. Anybody have a light bulb go out?
Amen.
In your house? Yeah. For me, I'm frustrated when light bulbs go out. Because for some reason, it's not just one that goes out, but three or four go out. And the packages at the store are in threes or fours. So when you go and buy them, you have to buy all three, use them all, or you have to buy two and get six and have three waiting over till later. And so you just have light bulbs just sitting there for a year. And so that just, maybe that doesn't bother anybody else, but that bothers me. I've changed so many light bulbs recently that maybe that's why that came out. Anyway. Since God's word lasts forever, that's a part of his nature. He thinks for some reason that we should behave the same way. Because if I tell my children, don't sit on the chairs in the living room, okay? Do not sit on any of the chairs in the living room. And then they go and sit on the couch. So I have to explain to them, well, I didn't want you to sit on any chairs in the living room. And they explained to me, well, you didn't say the couch.
Yes.
you have to think about it. See, the truth is clear if you committed to the truth. Don't sit on the chair means don't sit on any of the chairs.
Right.
So Satan, he uses that against Eve and basically says, did God really say you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden? Well, there's one. She should have said, well, there's one we can't eat from. And that would have been the truth. And then we don't know how the conversation would have gone, but that might have killed the conversation right there. But as we know, that's not what happened. Maybe I could eat from one. And then he goes on and lies to her. Well, you should be God. And she believes it.
Amen.
Let's see. Let me skip down here. Proverbs 5 through 6 says, that's Proverbs 30, verse 5. I've done this before several times where I'll just say, yeah, Proverbs 35 through 6, and people are looking for it, and they're like, no, it doesn't say that. So my wife helped me with this. It's Proverbs 30, chapter 30, verse 5, right? That's right. Okay, verse 5 through 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So if you commit yourself to God's word, he's going to protect you from the deception. There's people that they're deceiving or trying to deceive people, trying to corrupt God's word. Now listen how God feels about his word. You don't have to turn to these. I'm just going to read through them. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2 says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Deuteronomy 27, 26 says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. All the words. He says all the words, because some people will take just a little bit, take it out of context, but oh yeah, this is great. I think that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses have done. So they ignore a bunch of other scripture, but God's heart on this is all the words. Keep all the words. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do also. Revelation 22, 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. I've heard people say that God just doesn't want you to take stuff out of the book of Revelation. So does that mean he wants you to take things out of other places? Plus, if you ever read the book of Revelation, the plagues in there are not good. I mean, I know the word plague already is bad, but there's fire, and there's these beasts and all these crazy things biting people and killing people. It's not good. Thanks for that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if you are born again today, you are born again of incorruptible seed. So these people who try to corrupt God's word, they can't corrupt God's word, because once they corrupt it, it's not God's word. But you have to know that. We are born again of incorruptible. God's word is incorruptible. That means it cannot be corrupted at all. More of a reason why we should hold on to it, believe it, love it, read it, memorize it, keep it in our hearts every single day, because it's God's word and it's incorruptible. It's the truth. It's pure. Now, I have some samples here about corruptions of God's word, or misunderstandings of God's word. One, who killed Goliath? David, right? David killed Goliath. 2 Samuel 21, 19 and 1 Chronicles 25 are parallel passages. They talk about the same exact thing. But some of the modern versions have changed who actually killed Goliath in these verses. The verses should say that Elhanan killed the brother of Goliath. But I have here, this is an old 1984 NIV here. And it says in 2 Samuel 21, 19, in another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair, Oregon, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. Now, wait a minute. We know that David killed Goliath. Yeah. This is not the only place that it says, but here, this is an old 1984 NIV, and it says that this guy Elhanan killed Goliath. But there's a footnote here, and then it says, look at 1 Chronicles 20:5. So if you go to 1 Chronicles 25, this is the 1984 NIV here. 1 Chronicles 25 says, in another battle with the Philistines, Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath. Now that's correct, but it was changed back in 1984, and I believe since then they've corrected this change here. I've looked in several different versions, and that change has been corrected in some of them. But to my point here, God's word does not need correction. It does not need addition. It does not need revision at all. There's no reason for me to stand up here and start adding to God's word. We just read that he doesn't like that anyway. But then to say, oops, I'm wrong, and change it back to what he said, it's almost doubly wrong. You're like confessing that, oh, I made a mistake. So another sample here is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. I'll use this 1984 NIV here. Chapter 11, verse 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So Abram, according to the 1984 NIV, Abraham was enabled to become a father. But is that really a miracle at his age? That's not really a miracle at his age. That's not what this scripture from God is trying to say. He's not trying to say Abraham. I'll turn in to Hebrews 11 in the KJV. And it says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So it was Sarah was barren and she couldn't have any children. So it's a miracle that she was able to conceive seed. The phrase conceive seed is important, which is not here because they put it on Abraham here. It's important because the seed comes from who? From the man, right?
Yes.
But she was able to conceive that seed. And we know that conception is the beginning of life. The only way that she could conceive that seed is if it came from the man.
Yes.
And so the miracle here is that she was barren, but she was enabled to conceive seed. And that's another example. There have been multiple editions and revisions and different versions of God's word, but I encourage you, Paul told Timothy to meditate on these things. Paul told Timothy, till I come, give thyself to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. These are important, reading, exhortation, and doctrine. So make sure that when you're reading, you know that you're reading God's word, what he actually said. We said in the beginning that Jesus is the word of God. He is from God. He is the beginning, created all things, heaven and earth. And by him, all things are created. Nothing that is made was made without him. We have him and he lasts forever. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you just trust him with your life, eternity. It's his responsibility to make sure that you live forever. He said it. And if he doesn't make you live forever, then he lied. But we know that it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. So you are saved when you put your trust in the living Lord Jesus Christ. You receive his Holy Spirit. You are stamped, not with approval, but with a seal. So that when he comes back, he's going to redeem all the ones who are sealed for forever and eternity.
Yes.
David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You ever try to memorize something? Someone says, hey, do you know that song by heart? That's what he's talking about, your heart. So put those words in your heart. Remember, Jesus Christ, he is the beginning, the end, and he will come again and redeem all those who put their faith in him. And we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love his word, and it lasts forever. I'm done.